as it dawned the morning, there were thunders and lightning. A great cloud settled on the mountain. The people trembled as they heard the voice of Elohim's own words. A sound of
Shalom Aleichem Mishpachah, Todd Tamer here with Paradigm Shift, and thank you so much for joining us again today. As always, we want to give all glory, thanksgiving, honor, and praise, and worship, and everything in and of ourselves to the Father of our forefathers, Yahuwah El, who sits in the heaven of heavens, with our King, Yahushua HaMashiach, sitting at his right hand, waiting for his enemies to be made his footstool.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah is right.
Horeini Yahuwah Darkeka, Ahalek Ba'amitecha, Yaked Levavi Leira. Shemecha. Teach me your way, O Yahuwah. I will walk in your truth. Single my heart to fear your name.
Well, he's going to single everybody's heart to fear his name with when he brings his armies from the furthest extents of the heavens into this solar system and around this earth to shake it, rattle, and roll it, like Scripture talks about, where it will totter and stumble like a drunkard, and it will turn over, and it shall not return back again. I mean, that is, you're talking about a recreation of this earth, and that's what we're going to be getting into, is the various ages today, and into Emmanuel Velikovsky's Worlds in Collision book. And we're going to be starting off reading from the book after we finish this Carl Sagan critique.
Yeah, we're going to pick up from where we left off on the last show, reminding you.
From part one.
Yeah.
And we're going to start with the World of Ages, which goes through ancient writings all over the planet of catastrophes that have happened globally to mankind with volcanoes, electromagnetic interactions with the Earth between other bodies going by, and most notably Mars and Venus.
So it's a paradigm shift from all of our what
uniformitarianism,
we've been trained
with.
That's
the
right.
Linear timekeeping paradigm that we have been raised with, to think that everything has continued as it always has been and nothing's ever changed.
Scripture actually warns about.
And Scripture warns against the people who say those things, and that is the main thesis and premise of science today, the real religion, Scientology, of the New World Order, of Satan Illuminism. It was when Illuminism came in when people began to believe otherwise, that the ancients have written about for thousands of years, and Scripture also tells us to go back to the ancients and find the ancient paths and study them to find the truth from the lie that we live in today.
Okay, and so just to go back to this article from BibleResearchers.com, Charles Gimenthal, he wrote a book that was called Carl Sagan and Emmanuel Velikovsky, because Carl Sagan systematically came in to destroy the patriarch of cosmology, the Emmanuel Velikovsky. And Carl Sagan was just a young up-and-comer, but he had the backing of the elite, because they had to hammer down this science that Velikovsky was teaching everybody so that people would not understand, so that they could actually write the story of what we'd all experienced today. And so, Gimenthal, when he wrote a preface, he actually said he was shocked regarding Sagan's, Sagan's critique lacked substance, that the statements made by Sagan were proved to be clearly untrue, and that his paper was unscientific and unscholarly, the quality. And so then, later on in a book review, it talks about, that Velikovsky's theories are still heatedly debated today. And now it goes on to say, while I've seen Gimenthal take serious heat for his book on charges of sloppily or dishonest science and scholarship, it would be well for the reader to compare Gimenthal's book to Sagan's. Sagan's undertaker's job, meaning making a corpse of Velikovsky's thesis that was reproduced in The Scientists Confront Velikovsky. Gimenthal addresses virtually every sentence of Sagan's critique. Sagan betrayed his sense of fair play after dealing Velikovsky's work its public death blow at the AAS conference, which the astronomer Tom Van Flanderen, the guy who first wrote about Planet X, he called it a sneak attack because Sagan never engaged in a public discussion of Velikovsky's work again. And so this is not That is not the practice of honest science, but the work of a hack, using his reputation to outweigh his arguments. In that respect, Ginenthal is to be commended for his work, as he exposes critical aspects of Sagan's execution of his debunker's craft. In other words, Sagan was full of fecal matter, and he used it to try to destroy somebody, and you know, lead the public in a wrong direction. So,
And you might be wondering, you know, we start off the first part of this series talking about a non-listener who presented a critique on our shows, shows that we did exposing Levi's 7 year,
his 70 year, chain of unbroken 7 years. Year,
seven years on Rick Wiles' True News radio show.
Yeah.
So, you know, it is worlds in collision when you are faced with snakes in the grass, but whether we know it or not, it's the works of our heart that press us to do these things.
Yeah, and the worlds in collision definitely comes down to, are you going to just go along to get along, or are you going to reprove and rebuke at the risk of having any kind of community or relationship with people? Because it's not all about gathering for the sake of gathering. We're not supposed to have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. We're supposed to expose them. And that's what, you know, Ginenthal did regarding Sagan. He exposed him, and of course, Ginenthal got attacked, just like Velikovsky got attacked, because by no means can there be any real evidence or real power or strength behind truth.
Yeah,
you've got to tear truth down.
Especially against evolution, because it's the foundation, a cornerstone of the strong delusion that's over the earth today. And it's going to lead everybody into a satanic one-world religion. They're going to do, most of the people are going to be captured by the strong delusion and do the and worship Satan in that new religion coming.
So of course the
and
press
it comes out of Babylon, Mishpachah.
Mm-hmm. So of course the press and scientific journals, they're eagerly and repeatedly touting and hailing Sagan's critique as the definitive coup de grace to worlds in collision, Velikovsky's book. Nevertheless, as we shall rigorously demonstrate, this zeal is badly misplaced. A thorough scrutiny of Sagan's paper reveals it to be nothing more than Sagan's folly, a white elephant foisted upon unsuspecting scientists and laymen alike, and whose only weight is its imprimatur from established dogmatism.
Okay, so we're going to start with Emmanuel Velikovsky's World in Collision. This is called The World of Ages, and what this book primarily deals with is the Exodus and the events that occurred from the heavens and effects on the earth. Yehoshua, the time of Yehoshua, when the sun and the moon were stopped. And also Hezekiah's event at the time of Hezekiah, when the sun was stopped, and also the destruction of the Assyrian army when it was coming against Jerusalem at that time. So this part of the book is called The World of Ages, and this deals with the ancients and what they say has happened through time, and what time really is, a new conception of time being cyclical, and that is the Hebrew mindset and understanding. And once we return to the make teshuvah and return back to the Hebrew ways, we understand these things. So here we go. A conception of ages that were brought to their end by violent changes in nature is common all over the world. The number of ages differs from people to people and from tradition to tradition. The difference depends on the number of catastrophes that the particular people retained in its memory, or on the way it reckoned the end of an age. In the annals of the ancient Etruria, according to Varro, were records of seven elapsed ages. Since Cinceranus, an author of the 3rd Christian century and compiler of Varro, wrote that men thought that different prodigies appeared by means of which the gods notified mortals at the end of the age. The Etruscans were versed in the science of the stars, and after having observed the prodigies with attention, they recorded these observations in their books. The Greeks had similar traditions. There is a period, wrote Cinceranus, called the supreme year by Aristotle, at the end of which the sun, moon, and all the planets return to their original position. This supreme year has a great winter called by the Greeks Cataclysmos, which means deluge, and a great summer called by the Greeks Epiros, or combustion of the world. The world actually seems to be inundated and burned alternately in each of these epochs. Anaximenes and Anaximander in the sixth pre-Christian century, and Diogenes of Apollonia in the 5th century assumed the destruction of the world with subsequent recreation. Hera, I'm going to butcher all these names, Heraclitus, in 540 BC to 475 BC, taught that the world is destroyed in conflagration after every period of 10,800 years.
Another scientist.
Aristotricius of Samos in the 3rd century before the present era taught that in a period of 2,484 years, the earth undergoes two destructions of combustion and deluge. The Stoics generally believed in periodical conflagrations by which the world was consumed to be shaped anew. This is due to the forces of ever-active fire which exist in things and in the course of long cycles of time resolves everything into itself and out of it is constructed a reborn world. I mean, that is the to me, Mishpacha, that's the Illuminati idea of the reborn phoenix. And this goes on to say, so Philo presented the notion of the Stoics that our world is refashioned in periodic conflagrations. In one such catastrophe, the world will meet its ultimate destruction, colliding with another world. It will fall apart into atoms out of which, in a long process, a new earth will be created somewhere in the universe. Democritus and Epicurus explained Philo, postulate many worlds, the origin of which they ascribe to the mutual impacts and interlacing of atoms, and their destruction to the counterblows and collisions by the body so formed. As this earth goes to its ultimate destruction, it passes through recurring cosmic catastrophes and is reformed with all that lives on it. Hesiod, one of the earliest Greek authors, wrote about four ages and four generations of men that were destroyed by the wrath of the planetary gods. Remember, they are sun, moon, planet worshippers, Mishpacha. The third age was the Age of Bronze when it was destroyed by Zeus. A new generation repeopled the earth and using bronze for arms and tools, they began to use iron too. The heroes of the Trojan War were of this fourth generation. Then a new destruction was decreed. And after that came yet another generation, the fifth, of men who are upon the bounteous earth. The generation of iron. In another work of his, Hesiod described the end of one of the ages. The life-giving earth crashed around in burning, all the land seethed, and the oceans streamed. It seemed even as if earth and wide heaven above came together, for such a mighty crash would have risen if earth were being hurled to ruin, and heaven from on high were hurling her down. Analogous traditions of four expired ages persist on the shores of the Bengal Sea and in the highlands of Tibet. The present age is the fifth, according to them. The sacred Hindu book Bhagavata Purana, I can't speak Hindu, but anyway, tells of four ages and of paralysis or cataclysms in which, in various epochs, mankind was nearly destroyed. The fifth age is that of the present. The world ages are called kalpas or yugas. Each world age met its destruction in catastrophes of conflagration, flood, and hurricane. Azur Vedam and Bhagavadam, sacred Hindu books, keeping to the scheme of four expired ages, differ only in the number of years as ascribed to each. In the chapter, World Cycles, it is said that there are three destructions. The destruction by water, the destruction by fire, the destruction by wind. But there are seven ages, each of which is separated from the previous one by a world catastrophe. Reference to ages and catastrophes is found in Avesta, the sacred scriptures of Mazdaism, the ancient religion of the Persians. Bahaman Yast, one of the books of the Avesta, accounts seven world ages or millennia. Zoroaster, the prophet of Mazdaism, speaks of the signs, wonders, and perplexity which are manifested in the world at the end of each millennium. The Chinese call the perished ages Qis, and number 10 Qis from the beginning of the world until Confucius. Up to Confucius. In the ancient Chinese encyclopedia, the general convulsions of nature are discussed. Because of the periodicity of these convulsions, the span of time between two catastrophes is regarded as a great year. As during a year, so during a world age, the cosmic mechanism winds itself up, and in general convulsion of nature, the sea is carried out of its bed, mountains spring out of the ground, rivers change their course, human beings and everything are ruined, and the ancient traces are effaced. An old tradition and a very persistent one of world ages that went down in cosmic catastrophes was found in the Americas among the Incas, the Aztecs, and the Mayas. A major part of stone inscriptions found in the Yucatan referred to world catastrophes. The most ancient of these fragments or cartoons or calendar stones of the Yucatan refer in general to great catastrophes which at intervals and repeatedly convulse the American continent and of which all nations of this continent have preserved a more or less distinct memory. Codices of Mexico and Indian authors who compose the annals of their past give a prominent place to the tradition of world catastrophes that decimated humankind and changed the face of the earth. In the chronicles of the Mexican kingdom, it is said, the ancients knew that before the present sky, the earth were formed. Man was already created, and life had manifested itself four times. A tradition of successive creations and catastrophes is found in the Pacific on Hawaii and on the island of Polynesia. There were nine ages, and each age a different sky was above the earth. Icelanders, too, believe that nine worlds went down in a succession of ages, a tradition that is contained in the Edda. The rabbinical conception of ages crystallized in the post-exilic period. Already before the birth of our earth, worlds had been shaped and brought into existence, only to be destroyed in time. He made several worlds before ours, but he destroyed them all, end quote. This earth, too, was not created at the beginning to satisfy the divine plan. It underwent reshaping, six consecutive remoldings. New conditions were created after each of the catastrophes. On the fourth earth lived the generation of the Tower of Babel. We belong to the seventh age. Each of the ages, or earths, has a name. Seven heavens were created, and seven earths were created. The most removed, the seventh, Eretz, the sixth, Adama, the fifth, Arka, the fourth, Haraba, the third, Yabasha, the second, Tevel, and our own land called Heled, and like the others, it is separated from the foregoing by abyss, chaos, and water. Great catastrophes changed the face of the earth. Some perished by deluge. Others were consumed by conflagration, wrote the Jewish philosopher Philo. According to the rabbinical authority Rashi, ancient tradition knows of periodic collapses of the firmament, one of which occurred in the days of the deluge, the flood, and which repeated themselves in intervals of 1656 years. The duration of the world ages varies in Armenian and Arabian traditions.
And then it moves into the sun ages. An oft-repeated occurrence in the traditions of the world ages is the advent of a new sun in the sky at the beginning of every age. The word sun is substituted for the word age in the cosmogonical traditions of many people all over the world. The Mayas counted their ages by the names of their consecutive suns. These were called water sun, earthquake sun, hurricane sun, and fire sun. These suns mark, quote, these suns mark the epochs to which are attributed the various catastrophes the world has suffered.
Our scripture tells the sun will turn as black as sackcloth and the moon to blood. And that event happens at the same time, not separate. They happen at the same time. Read your scriptures, Mishpacha.
So in 1568 to 1648, the native Indian scholar, I'm not going to even try to pronounce his name, in his Annals of the Kings of Tezcuco, described the world ages by the names of suns. The water sun, or sun of waters, was the first age. It was terminated by a deluge in which almost all creatures perished. Then the earthquake sun, or age, perished in a terrific earthquake, when the earth broke in many places and mountains fell. The world age of the hurricane sun came to its destruction in a cosmic hurricane. The fire sun was the world age that went down in a rain of fire. The nations of Cuhua or Mexico, Humboldt quoted, Gomara, the Spanish writer of the 16th century, believe according to their hieroglyphic paintings that previous to the sun which now enlightens them, four had already been successfully extinguished. These four sons are as many ages in which our species had been annihilated by inundations, by earthquakes, by a general conflagration, and by the effect of destroying tempests. Every one of the four elements participated in each of the catastrophes. Deluge, hurricane, earthquake, and fire gave their names to the catastrophes because of the predominance of one of them in the upheavals. Symbols of the successive sons are painted on the pre-Columbian library literary documents of Mexico. Cinco soles que son edades, or five suns that are epochs, wrote Gomara in his description of the conquest of Mexico. An analogy to this sentence of Gomara may be found in Lucius Ampilius, a Roman author, who in his book Liber Memorialis wrote, soles fuere quinque, there were five suns. It is the same belief that Gomara found in the New World. The Mexican Annals of Cahua Itilian wrote in Indian about 1570 and based on ancient sources contains the tradition of seven sun epochs. Chicon Tanatiwa, or the seven suns, is the designation for the world cycles or acts in the cosmic drama. The Buddhist sacred book of the Visuddhi Magga contains a chapter on world cycles. There are three destructions, the destruction by water, the destruction by fire, and the destruction by wind. After the catastrophe of the deluge, when now a long period has elapsed from the cessation of the rains, a second sun appeared. In the interim, the world was enveloped in gloom, kind of like the beginning of Genesis, huh? When this second sun appears, there is no distinction of day and night, but an incessant heat beats upon the world. When the fifth sun appeared, the ocean gradually dried up. When the sixth sun appeared, the whole world became filled with smoke. After the lapse of another long period, a seventh sun appears and the whole world breaks into flames. This Buddhist book refers also to a more ancient discourse on the seven suns. The Brahmins call the epochs between two destructions the great days. The Sibylline books recite the ages in which the world underwent destruction and regeneration. The Sibyl told as follows, the nine suns are nine ages, now is the seventh sun. The Sibyl prophesied two ages yet to come, that of the eighth and of the ninth sun. The Aborigines of British North Borneo, even today, declare that the sky was originally low, and that six suns perished, and at present the world is illuminated by the seventh sun. Seven solar ages are referred to in the Mayan manuscripts, in Buddhist sacred books, and in the books of Sibyl. In all quoted sources, the suns are explained by the sources themselves as signifying consecutive epochs, each of which went down in a great general destruction. Did the reason for the substitution of the word sun for epoch by the people of both hemispheres lie in the changed appearance of the luminary and in its changed path across the sky in each world age?
Good question. And I think the things that they may not have understood, but there is evidence that the ancients did, some of the ancients, most probably before the flood itself, they understood the magnetic field of the earth. They understood the poles. They actually took energy from the grid system, the magnetic field grid system that covers the earth. And with the changing in our magnetic field as it is doing today, which scientists cannot figure out. And to give you an example of that, we're going to go to the South Atlantic anomaly, and we're going to continue with this Velikovsky book in part two, and we're going to be getting
part
to
three.
Part three, and we're going to be getting to the Yehoshua event is yeah. What the next thing is going to be talked about by Velikovsky. But the South Atlantic anomaly, it is in fact. Let's see, I've got an article here.
If you go
here.
All the way down the bottom, it tells you what the South Atlantic anomaly is.
Okay.
And it was talking about...
It's a weakening of the magnetic field over the Earth, and it's mostly has been sitting over the southern half of South America, Brazil and those nations, and it crosses the entire Atlantic over to South Africa. And we've been watching this over time, and looking at these different pictures or the representations that these scientists give to us, the anomaly is getting larger, and it's a big topic of discussion when you start talking about pole shifts.
Yes, a magnetic shift.
A magnetic shift in the pole. So what's going on down there is that the magnetic field of the Earth, like I was going to say earlier, is the first one to say scientists know that the magnetic field of the Earth is losing or weakening. weakening by 5% each and every year, and they don't under, they don't know why. And over this area, the where the South Magnetic Anomaly is, South Atlantic Anomaly is, it's the weakest part of the Earth, Earth's magnetic field on the planet. And these scientists have stuck a research station right in the center of that. You can't put satellites and things over it without them getting fried unless you shut them down. So what's my whole point to getting all this is that these changes in the Earth's magnetic field can cause different effects or allowances of radiation to come in from the sun that sits above our heads, causing these great catastrophes along with planets coming in. So keep looking up everything, Mishpacha, and learn for yourself. Start to seek out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Yeshua HaMashiach's name, Aliyah.
You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet.